Machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban, Maimonides and Nachmanides, regarding the origin of the obligation of prayer. The Rambam maintains, based on his reading of the Sifri, that prayer is biblical, based on Vavaratem et Hashem Elokechem, or Vavdol b'chol levavchem, serving God with all your heart. And the obligation as understood by the Rambam is once a day. Simply, there is no time, there's no specification, but once a day seems to be logical. There are no fixed times, there's no fixed text, although the Rambam does maintain that there's a requirement for Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodaya, that you have to have these three elements of praise, request, and thanks. And according to the Rambam, since prayer is a positive commandment which is not time determined, therefore women are obligated to pray. Now the rabbis at a later date, on the Second Temple, came along and established a fixed text. They established a fixed form, they set up time requirements, they set up number requirements as far as number of prayers per day, and they gave it a time determinist quality. Now, some commentators, based on the Rambam, maintain that when the Chazal came along and they concretized the biblical obligation of prayer, and since women were obligated in prayer, they were obligated in all the things that the Chazal required. There's even a few hold that prayer is biblical. Since the Chazal came along and fleshed out the obligation, despite the fact that it had a time-determined quality to it, nevertheless, women are obligated. Others, like the Magen Abraham and Rabbi Zad Yosef, maintain, no, the women were obligated biblically. And when the rabbis come along and give it a time-determined quality, that they can't obligate women on. Women are free from time-determined qualities. So they maintain the biblical obligation, which is once a day, provided Shevach, Bakasha, Mahudaya, no specific text. The time-determined quality that Chazal gave prayer, that women are freed from. Okay, so those are the two positions regarding women's status in prayer, if prayer is biblical in origin. The Ramban, and thus seems to be the view of the majority of Rishonim, that prayer is rabbinic in origin. And when the rabbis obligated men in prayer, they obligated women equally in prayer. Now prayer we're talking about, Shmoneh Esrei. So men and women are obligated equally in Shmoneh Esrei. And about this, there are two positions. One position is that they're obligated twice a day, that Shachrit and Mincha. As far as Ma'ariv is concerned, there is a machloket between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, and these represent schools. The Mishnah Berurah of the Aruch HaShulchan is the obligation that men are obligated three times a day, women are obligated three times a day. The Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion which says, wait a second. Ma'ariv in origin was optional. It was only at a later stage that all of Klai Yisrael accepted Ma'ariv, the third Shema Esrei at the night, as obligatory. As an oath, all of Klai Yisrael accepted, binding themselves to accept Ma'ariv as an obligation. By the way, as we go through, we'll see that the fact that in origin it was an obligation, it was optional, has all sorts of halakhic ramifications, which will be important. But in any case, since Ma'ariv in its origin was optional, when supposedly Klal Yisrael accepted it, it means the men folk of Klal Yisrael accepted. Women folk did not accept it. How do we know that? What sources do we have? Truth matters, we have no sources for that distinction. But remember, what's in the background? What's in the background is the de facto women are not praying at all. So if the rabbis have to come along and women are not praying at all, I mean, except for your righteous women or certain select women who were davening, de facto women weren't praying. And women weren't praying, therefore the rabbis, the Mishnah Berurah, is essentially struggling with the fact we're going to obligate women 3 times a day, well, they're not davening at all. I mean, if they're obligated, if they accepted anything, it was the 2 out of 2 that they're obligated to, not anymore. All right. So, now we have a problem. We have a problem that the majority, let's put it this way, if your whole prayer was biblical, like the Rambam, okay, some say men are obligated, women are obligated equally, men, some say you're not. If prayer is rabbinic, women are obligated equally with men. And clearly the majority of poskim hold that women are obligated. And yet, we have the fact that women are not praying. We have the fact that women are not praying. There were several attempts in the poskim trying to understand why women aren't praying. One approach is the approach that's most commonly referred to as the approach of the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham, even though he himself states clearly that the majority of poskim hold that women are obligated to pray, says that the women are relying on a minority opinion, the minority opinion of the Rambam, who says that women only have that prayer is biblical in origin, and when the rabbis came and gave this time determined quality, the women weren't obligated. Maybe the women weren't obligated. And that's what the women are relying on. And since there was good room in halacha, there's a good justification in halacha that why women don't daven in normal prayer, even though the majority of poskim are against it, we can't criticize the women. They have a strong leg to stand on. It's the view of the Rambam. There are other opinions. The other opinion is the opinion of Rav Avadi Yosef, who says that since the Shulchan Aruch proskins like the Rambam, what can we do? The women are relying on their minority opinion. Rav Avadi says, as you read the Shulchan Aruch says women are obligated in prayer because of positive commandment, which is not time determined. Says Avadi Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch is proskining like the Rambam. He's proskining against the majority opinion. And the Shulchan Aruch is an authority, right? Now, Yosef Karo is a major authority. He passes that way. He's passing it to Rambam. And he learns that that's the majority opinion. Most poskim, however, seem to agree with the approach of the Magen Avraham, that we're not happy with the fact that women are not doing what the majority of poskim do. There is a third approach, and that is the approach that I mentioned in passing from the Chafetz Chaim, and I just saw it again. There's testimony that the Chafetz Chaim, the author of the Mishnah Berurah, despite the fact that he writes in his halachic book, in his Golden Mishnah Berurah, that women are obligated to pray twice a day, his daughter gives testimony that her father told her that she didn't have to daven as long as she was raising the children. That is, and there have been various interpretations. Why did the Mishnah Berurah say this to his own daughter? The language of the Torah is that mikivan she'asuka b'gidul b'mitzvat gidul yeladeha. Okay, now it's not clear what his reason is. It his view that because osik b'mitzvah pater min mitzvah, that since she's involved with raising her children and running the home, therefore she's free from the obligation? Or did the Mishnah Berurah seem to maintain that since prayer needs proper intention, and since if a woman is constantly distracted, constantly worrying about her children, constantly worrying about her home, therefore she cannot have proper intention. Mm-hmm. In either case, many poskim have said that in the modern situation, it doesn't seem to ring true anymore. We're living in the 20th century, especially in this half of the 20th century, where women find so much time for other leisure things. They find time to read ladies' magazines and watch television. I'm using doctor negative images, okay? And don't say it here because I'm going to show this.
But is all the kids are asleep at night.
Whatever it is, if they find time for leisure occupations, they should find time for the 5 minutes that it takes to daven a Shemona Esrei.
It's not 5 minutes.
That's okay. Now I will try to convince you that it's not very much more than 5-7 minutes. Okay, but leave it up to me. The whole davening that we're obligated is not more than 7 minutes.
Let me finish
my presentation.
It's not a speech.
Yes.
So therefore, they went to shul, and they had the...
I agree. Now, another presentation. Another explanation was that the Chazal couldn't have obligated women. This is the view it's Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach, in his Mo'adim Uzmani, says very clearly that it seems clear to him that Chazal could have obligated women in prayer, because the time of the Chazal, most men and women were illiterate. Men went to shul because they first had tzibur. Women were not obligated to go to shul. Therefore, the women couldn't have been obligated. Okay, that argument doesn't hold too much more, because if a person is illiterate, he's anus. I mean, I could say women are obligated, but if she can't go to shul, not obligated to shul, she has to stay home, wherever it is, she's anusa. You know, it's called onus rachmanu pra duress. She's illiterate, she doesn't have a daven, and so therefore she there's nothing she can do, right? So that argument, and that's his argument, the Chazal wouldn't have put women in a situation which they couldn't have conveniently got out of. That's his argument.
If there weren't women then that were capable of davening anyway, then the whole argument would have been irrelevant.
The what?
If there were women then that were capable of davening anyway.
There were always women. There were always women. Let's put it this way. Throughout Jewish history, Jewish men and women were always far more literate than the world around them. That doesn't say very much. But it's true that we know that men and women were, the Jewish men and women were far more literate than the world around them, because knowledge came in prayer, you had the text, but she prayed from her heart. She did not pray from a text. Okay? She didn't pray from a text. Alright, now, so that essentially is a presentation of the various views. I'd like to point out that even according to a Rav Avadia Yosef, who is probably the most strongest supporter, let's say, women davening only once a day, Rav Avadia Yosef says that in our generation, where women are literate, they should clearly daven a Shemona Esrei once a day. Why do you say they should daven a Shemona Esrei once a day? He says, because, look, Chazal set up Shemona Esrei because they felt that that was the best way to express yourself. I mean, it's true, a person can get up and daven, but he says Shemona Esrei is a gem of a paragraph, a gem of a expression of the various needs of man and a Jewish community of the light. And therefore, my father, Alav Hashem, when he was in Hillel, once sat down with a variety of kids who were just, you know, getting to discover the Jews, and asked them to write down the things they would write prayers about. And they started formulating different prayers, and sure enough, it came out to be associated with Shemona Esrei. So that it essentially covers a wide range of needs that we have. And it's especially now that we're literate, and that we can daven quickly, and we should do so. One of the major problems has to do with Svardi women. Because according to Avadia Yosef, if you're not obligated to make a, if women are not obligated to say a bracha, they can't. So if women are not obligated to pray Shemona Esrei, how do they say Shemona Esrei? How do they daven more than once a day? How can, even if Avadia Yosef says women can daven two or three times a day. So Avad Yosef answers the question himself, and he says, when it comes to prayer, we have the verse of Rabbi Yochanan, Luvai Shitpal Adam Kalayim Kulo, that a man and a woman should, if only they could pray all day long. And therefore, and essentially the idea is that you can increase your prayer, that you can request the things that you need. There's a concept, as I mentioned, of tefillat nedavav, you can volunteer a prayer, and therefore, certainly you can pray more than once a day. That these rules don't, these rules of bracha lebatala don't necessarily apply to prayer. Now.
But if you eat, you make a bracha.
Yes.
So that's not low bracha lebatala.
No. But if you're not obligated, that's me, no. If you eat, Now, there's one question I think that we have to ask. Say a woman decides, you know, I haven't been davening all along, I'm going to daven once a day. Where does the day begin and end? You know, I mean, seriously, she wants to make sure she davens once a day. Where does the day begin and end? Well, you know, it's not so trivial, the answer. I asked my Rebbe Rav David Cohen, and he had a long pilpul, and he didn't know either, and I brought several proofs. It would seem to me, okay, my gut reaction is that it's like everything else. Night, Maariv is first, Maariv, Shabbat, Mincha, Maariv. And I would say that it's even hinted in, by the way, because we even had a pasuk. Remember, the Gemara says, how do we, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Dylan. Erev v'vokir v'tzaraim asicha v'emeh v'yishma koli. Again, the verse is bringing, that is being brought here, starts from nighttime. The Rambam, when he discusses the prayers, and he says, you don't have the text in front of you, let me just read what the Rambam says. Nimtzu says, after he goes through the whole evolution of prayer and the establishment of the three prayers, he says, Nimtzu hatfilot b'chol yom shalosh arvit v'shachrit mincha. So the three prayers in the day are as follows: Arvit, Shachrit, Mincha. It seems to me that Arvit first, right? That Arvit is first. That Arvit is the beginning. Now, in fact, there's a hint to it from a Gemara. The Gemara says as follows: There's a din called Tashlumi. Tashlumi says, suppose I'm talking about one. A woman who davens twice or three times a day, and a man who's obligated to daven three times a day, forgets to daven Shacharis. Or suppose he was sick and couldn't daven Shacharis, or whatever it is, he forgot. And he didn't daven Shacharis. The halacha states that you daven Shmoneh Esrei of Mincha twice. The first time as an obligation, the second time as a tashlumi. So the Gemara then says as follows. What about if you forget Mincha? What about if you forget Mincha? So the Gemara says, do we say that Maariv is the beginning of a new day? And therefore, Avar Zmano Batel Kama? No, therefore, you can't make Tashlumin in another day. It has to be in the same day. Or do we say, no, because tefillah is rachme, tefillah is a request of mercy, and therefore, whenever you say it, it's acceptable. Okay? And the Gemara essentially implies that, in fact, you can do it, for Mincha you can do it Maariv time. Okay? And the Meiri says, because we also see that at nighttime, prayer is related to sacrifices. And the nighttime prayers against the bones and the skins that were left over from the day and burnt at night. So it was the day sacrifices that were burnt at night. The Gemara is not very clear, but it seems to be clear from the Gemara that, but this is talking about the time determined quality, right? Shachrit, minhag hamaariv. We're talking about a woman's obligation where it has nothing to do with this time determined quality. It seems that the Gemara understands prayer from the question, the Gemara understands prayer again, meaning night, morning, day. So I would say that the night, morning, day. Okay, but I would say that if you forgot to daven, you can always daven the next day. There's no prohibition daven twice in the same day. And that's okay. Okay. The answer is not clear. Let's now move on to another question. We're going to skip some rest of the shachar. I want to deal with one more Shmona Esrei that's important to deal with, and that's Musaf. The Shmona Esrei of Musaf, page 114 of the text. So we're going to read the Tzlach. Tzlach is the Tzion HaNefesh Chaya, written by the Noda Behuda. He lived in the 1700s. Okay? And the Tzlach, on page 114, towards the bottom, writes as follows. Tzion HaNefesh Chaya, page 114. Tzion HaNefesh Chaya. He writes as follows. Gam b'mitzvot d'rabanan, sh'azman graman nashim p'turot. And even by the rabbinic commandments, which are time determined, we're not freed. Ela shebetfilah chivino rabbanan kivin derachminim. When it comes to prayer, the rabbis obligated us, obligated women in prayer, even though it's a positive language, time determined, because it's a request for mercy. V'hainu b'shalosh tefilah takvuot b'chol yom. But that's only good. We're talking about the prayers of the weekday, right? Which are every day, which have request for mercy, right? Help me, give me money, give me health, save me from oppressors. Then he continues, but what about Shabbat and Yom Tov? What about Shabbat and Yom Tov? Remember, in Shabbat and Yom Tov, you don't ask for specific things. There's no real bakosha in that sense. Vafilu b'Shabbat v'Yom Tov, shatfilot hen rak shevach. And even in Shabbat and Yom Tov, where essentially the requests are only praise, we'll come back to talk about this. Mikom makom kivin de bechol rachminu. Since in the weekday it's a request for mercy, right? And Chazal set up that a person should pray every day. Lo chilku bin Shabbat the Yom Tov the Chol. They didn't make any distinction between Shabbat and Chol. When the rabbis came along and obligated people to pray because it's a request for mercy, no plug is the general rule. No distinctions. A person is obligated to pray three times a day. Avot tefilat musaf. But what about the musaf prayer? She'inena rachmein. Whose whole purpose is what? Merely to mention the sanctity, the special quality of the day, to mention the Musaf. V'hi mitzvot aseh shazman graman. And it is time determined. It comes specifically because it's a Shabbos or because it's a Yom Tov. V'adei nashim p'turot. Women are definitely free from davening Musaf. Okay? Women are clearly free from davening Musaf, says the Tzlach. Now look at the note number one at the bottom of the page. Dato, the view of the Tzlach, says Rabbi Ellenson, Shenashim chayavot petfila shmonesre shel chol, kishitat rashi, tosav de Ramban, mishum de rachmi, because it's rabbinic and because it's a request of mercy. Vahora, and he rules, shelafi shita zot, hen chayavot gam b'shabbat u'biyomta betfilat sheva. They're also obligated in weekdays, we have seven, that is at the middle. The middle 12 or 13 actually is replaced by one bracha on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Right? The Tefillat Sheva, Arvit, Shachrit, Mincha. Hagam, even though he says, She'ein betefillat elo brachot em tziot shel tachanunim, even though there's no request, Bechol zot chivu ben chachamim et anashim mishum lo plug. No distinctions. The rules on the books, what people gotta pray. Women gotta pray. Ain't not deal with tefillah. Every should make those decisions between prayer and prayer. However, when it comes to Musaf, Musaf's whole purpose is just to mention the card from the Musaf. Therefore, women are free. Let's continue on the top of 115. Slach continues in his development. Since we have established that Musaf, women are not obligated, נדבר עתה אם הן מותרות להתפלל מוסף. Can they now come? Are they permitted to say Musaf? ונראה שרשות ידיהם, it would seem to me that women are permitted to pray. ולא מבואי לידי דן. And it's, we don't need this chiddush to us. It means us, the Ashkenazi. שאנו נמשלחים אחרי דברי הפוסקים. Because we follow the view of the poskim, the Ashkenazi poskim. שאנשים יכולים לברך על מצוות עשה שהזמן גרמה. אף שם תורה, because we hold like those authorities that maintain like the Rabbeinu Tam. That holds that women can make positive command, can make brachot or positive commandments which are time determined. That they can bring themselves under the obligation. Pshita shiyesh l'shut l'nashin l'tolel tefillah musaf. So too they can do this obligation, which is a time determined obligation. But he says, afilu l'dat haRambam b'Shulchan Aruch. The Tzlach says, but even according to the Svardim, like the Rambam l'Shulchan Aruch, shenashim ein l'nan nevochot ha-mitzvat ha-sheish ha-zman gom. The women don't make brachot on positive commandments with time determined. Mikol makom nireh shelodim shecholot l'tolel tefillah musaf. But they would agree that they can daven, they can daven musaf. Why? Harei mevor bebet Yosef atam she'en mevorchot. Why says does the Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo state that women can't make brachot? Ech yomar v'tzivanu. How can they say we were obligated? Harei lo nistavu v'rak mekaymot matzmam. After all, they're not obligated and they're only doing it themselves. Tam zeh says the Shtlach. Shayach bevirkat mitzvah. That only applies to brachot, which are mitzvah brachot, which say asher kishon mitzvah vitzivanu. Women can't honestly say vitzivanu. That's why the Sfaradim object. Aval betfilah lo amrinan vitzivanu. But in prayer we don't say vitzivanu. Brachot atfilah hein hein mitzvah atzma. The mitzvah is the bracha themselves. Is the davening itself. Kimin shenashayim v'shayot lekayim. Since women are permitted to fulfill all positive commandments which were time determined, gam tefilat hamusaf reshut lehem litpalel, so they can also daven musaf should they like. Mikol makom chiyuva leka alayu legamrei, but there's no obligation upon them. Now he gives me just to a point. He does a very fancy two step, and I don't want you to miss it. He says two things. Says first of all, he says in prayer there's no vitzivanu, therefore women should be able to say prayer. Because
last week, didn't you say that?
I said I know what I said last week. You're right. You're just made it. I'm presenting the Tzlach. He makes three points. I'll summarize them, and then we'll analyze it. However. Okay, so the first reason he says, because the whole reason why they said that Yosef Karo says the reason why Sephardi women can't say a birkot of mitzvah, which are time determined, because they have to say mitzivano, and they can't honestly say mitzivano, they're not obligated. Okay, again, remember the Ashkenazim say mitzivano means klal Yisrael, and that we're connected, we can bring ourselves, we can join God's army, all those arguments we gave. The Svaradim say they're not obligated. They're not obligated. You're supposed to be there, not obligated. So how can you say Mitzvah? The second reason he gives, which is an interesting argument, he says, look, even the Svaradim admit that you're allowed to do any mitzvah to say, and women are not obligated, but they can do any mitzvah to say. Well, if the mitzvah is the prayer, suppose the text is the mitzvah. You just said they can do any mitzvah to say Shazman Gamal. Them diamond. That's the mitzvah. They're doing the mitzvah. They're allowed to shake lula. It's not the bracha before the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah. You just say that they can do the mitzvah. The prayer is the mitzvah. So let them do the prayer. That's his argument. Did you follow that? It's not a preparatory bracha. Unless it's the mitzvah. So since they can do the mitzvah, they can say the prayer. That's his another argument that he presents. All right. Let's now summarize the three points the Tzlach, the note that Yehuda makes, and then we'll analyze. The first point he makes is that Shabbat and Yom Tov are prayers, which are have no requests in them, they're merely praise. But nevertheless, women are obligated to say them, according to the view that women are obligated to pray three times a day. Women are obligated to say these prayers. Why? Because lo plug, no distinction. Second argument he makes is that women, the whole purpose of musaf is not a request for mercy, and therefore women are free. The third opinion, third point is that even though women are free from davening musaf, even Sephardi women can go ahead and make it, because the whole problem is the text with Sivanu, and there's no problem with it. And this text doesn't have a Sivanu. Okay, let's see what the first problem, the first statement is, that the prayers on Shabbat are pure Shabbat. Okay, and we don't say the middle 13, we're just sort of saying a general praise to God, adding a Yalav Yavo, or referring to Shabbat, and that's it. Now I want to read you a Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Now, the question is, why actually on Shabbat don't we add the middle 13? Why do we cut out all those bakashot? And it's based on the Gemara in Brachot of Afalaf Amdalaf. Gemara reads as follows. Amar Bihuda Amar Shmuel. I apologize that I didn't have time to see myself. Amar Bihuda Amar Shmuel. Haya omed betfila, he was standing in Shemoneh Esrei, v'nizkar shitpalel. And he got up to daven because he thought he was obligated. V'nizkar shitpalel, he remembers, oh, I already davened mincha, why am I davening mincha again? Posek v'afilu b'emtza bracha, he stops his davening, even if it's the middle of the bracha, he stops in his tracks. And he says, Ini, is that correct? V'ha'amar Rab Nachman, ki avina be'Rabba Baravua, Rab Nachman said, when I was in the house of Rabba Baravua, by minute, we asked him, Hani b'nei be'Rav, these people of the house of Rav, d'tau u'mitkerei d'chol b'Shabbat. They mentioned, they started getting up for Shabbos davening, and they started saying, Achtachone, you know, they started davening regular weekday Shemoneh Esrei. Should they finish? No, they're no la malshinim, and they're like, ah, it's Shabbat. What am I saying la malshinim for? What does he do then? The Amalan and Rabbis answered us, gomrim kolota bracha. You finish the bracha. You start a la malshinim, you finish la malshinim, and then you switch over, right? You finish over to the Shabbos text. Yismach Moshe, whatever you want to say. You finish the bracha. No, whatever you want. You finish the bracha, and then you switch over to the Shabbos or the Yom Tov text. So the Gemara says, here you said that if I get up and I'm davening the wrong Shemoneh Esrei, that's what I daven the Cholesh to stop in my tracks. And here if I'm davening the wrong Shemoneh Esrei, I finish the bracha and then switch. So the Gemara says, what's the comparison? What's the question? Hatam gavra bar chiyuvu. On Shabbat, you're obligated to pray. And this Shemoneh Esrei, I was obligated to daven a Shachar Shemoneh Esrei, Shabbat. And I should have davened, since it implies that I should have said, I was obligated to send a malshinim. V'rabbanan hud lo atrachahu mishum kabot Shabbat. The Chazal did not obligate him to say the 13th request benediction, the middle benediction, because of the honor of Shabbat. It's another day, you worry about worldly matters. Aval hacha, but where you daven mincha, and now you got up to daven a mincha and you made a mistake. Hot salila, you already daven mincha. You already daven mincha. Now, you're going to ask me, what do you mean, what's the problem? You're allowed to volunteer at tefillah. You're allowed to daven an extra tefillah if you want to. The answer is, but that's not how when he got up. When he got up to daven, he didn't say, I'm volunteering this. This is a carbon nedava. This is a tefillah nedava. He said, this is an obligatory prayer. You're going to daven mincha. It's daven mincha. You daven the wrong prayer. You stop. You stop in the middle. In order to daven a tefillah nedava, you have to know it's a tefillah nedava. Now, the halacha, there's sometimes where I'm in doubt. As soon as he got up and he didn't know whether he davened mincha or not. Didn't know. So you get up and you say, the halacha states as follows. You get up and you say, if I didn't daven mincha, the Shemoneh Esrei should be my obligatory. But if I did daven mincha, then then this should be a donation. That's all right.
That's
a davar. But if you thought you didn't know that you davened, and then you got up and you davened, you have to stop. Stop in the middle. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I have read that if you get up and do the prayer, and only bakasha, only bakasha, you put yourself on a lower level, like a child who only addresses his parents when he wants something. He doesn't come to express his love to his parents. Affection.
So you take if you only pray the same Shmoyatsu all the time?
No. If you only pray when you really are in trouble and you want something from God to help you because you are in a corner, and then you pray. And any other day, you forget about it. Then you put yourself on a lower level because what is it to pray? You elevate yourself because you speak to a very, very high instance, right? And if you speak to him directly and no go-between, because we don't know any go-betweens, then you speak to someone who is on a highest level, and with that, through that fact, you elevated yourself to that level.
That's an important point of ours, the psychology of prayer, that one should not confront God only when when you need something.
Yeah.
You don't turn to your best friend only when you need when you need that.
You telephone when you need
it. Right, that's not a way to develop a relationship. But that's how the psychology. The person will also talk about the fact that when you daven Shmona Esrei, you should always think the same things that you should think, or even there's even rules on how to add to the text. Shema Aleinu, you can just before you say Ki Ata Shomea, you can add anything you want to. In any language you want to, and the people you do halacha indicates that you should do those things because the prayer becomes fresh and becomes new, and you should. What you're saying is definitely correct. Now, it seems that the Tzlach understood this Gemara as to mean that the Gemara, that the Torah, that the Chazak came along and freed you from any requests. Now, this is problematic for a variety of reasons. First of all, the Rambam holds that prayer needs Sheva, Bakasha, Vodaya. That's the biblical obligation. How can the rabbis come along and say, we don't want you to have any requests? How can they do such a thing? The Torah said, and according to the Rambam, you have to have Bakasha. You have to have requests. Second of all, on Shabbat, you look in the Shemoneh Esrei, we do have bakashot. Elokeinu v'elokeinu v'etzeinu v'mnuchadakat sheinu v'tzudel v'teichal keinu v'tzudel 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 v'chayel v'beinu v'tzudel 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 Shabbat, v'tzudel 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 you have requests. What do you mean you don't have requests? How does that slow? What? They're spiritual requests. Of course they're spiritual requests. But it doesn't mean they're not bakashot. That's what the Tzlach, that's what Avadi Yosef disagrees completely with the Tzlach. He says, what do you mean they're no bakashot? Of course they're bakashot. There have to be bakashot. What Chazal came along and did, they weren't matriachas to go through the 13 and delineate all the day-to-day requests. They didn't want you to do such things. However, there definitely is requests. And it's clear that Chazal simply removed the mundane, the worldly bakashot, and replaced them with purely spiritual ones appropriate on Shabbat. Okay, now the second point that Tzlach makes is that Musaf is not a request for mercy. Okay? Now, based on what we just said, that's also problematic. What do you mean Musaf is not a request for mercy? That same Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu v'Tzeinu v'Menuchatenu is said, or whatever you say in Shabbat or Yom Tov, you say Shabbat and Yom Tov, you say Vatodigenu Musaf. There's something you say at the end. Whatever you say it in Shacharit and Musaf, and Mincha, and Maariv. What do you mean there are no Bakashot in Musaf? Of course, the same spiritual Bakashot which appear in Shacharit appear in Musaf. And now we say Bisham Nasalafan Nechat Kabanot, right? We talk about bring back the Kabanot, bring back. We have all sorts of requests. All right. I don't think that that's a problem. Because what the Tzlacha means is that the purpose of Musaf is not for Bakashot. The purpose of Shacharit is to ask for things. The Mincha Maariv, you ask for things, you ask spiritual things, correct in Shabbat. But that's not the purpose of Musaf. The purpose of Musaf is special, unique to the Shabbat, or special, unique to the holiday. It talks about the special quality of the day, and it talks about the fact that there's a Korban Musaf. That's why we should be chayav, because that's the whole purpose of it. It's not a specific request. It was merely to ask for things you would have had an extra Musaf. Well, you've already asked it 3 times that day. What do you need another one for? The purpose of it is because to make the Korban Musaf. And since it's the mitzvah that says she has a man gama, unique to the day, that's its vezodetra, therefore women are free. Now there's another reason that the poskim discuss while freeing women from making korban musaf. The korban musaf was bought from shkalim, from the shekel, the machzit shekel that the men were obligated to give. Women were not obligated to give the machzit shekel. And therefore, one could argue since they didn't use the money, their money wasn't used to buy the korban musaf, therefore they're free from the korban musaf.
But the most by the tamid is shkalim.
Excellent. First of all korban are born from the shkalim. The korban tamid also is born from the shkalim. And the korban tamid is the shacharit prayer. The women are obligated. Right, that's point one. Point two, people under 20 didn't give shkalim either. Men under 20, so we mean that they're not obligated to tithe. And besides, the korban musaf, even if it wasn't...
We are on the same level. We are on the same level as men.
That's correct. I agree. That point is whose ownership. Second, the third point is that even if they didn't, women weren't obligated to give the shkalim, the korban musaf worked for all the Klal Yisrael. Worked for the men, worked for the women, worked for the Kohanim too, worked for everybody. So that has no relationship. Okay. So that most poskim don't like that reason for freeing women. At that point, Levi'im and Kohanim also didn't give shkalim. And women weren't obligated to give shkalim, but they can give shkalim. They did give shkalim. Women did all the time give shkalim. We know that women give shkalim. Women to this day have the custom of giving matzah to shekel. They're not obligated, but many women do.
But of course, they special for women before you light candles Friday night.
But that didn't go to the Beit HaMikdash. But that didn't go to the Beit HaMikdash. That wasn't for the Korbanot. That's the idea. Let's look at page 115. Let's see what the Sholem Meishan has to say. Sholem Meishan of Nachum Zamir in the 1800s. What does he say? Page 115. Nibe tam nechol nechayev et anashim. He says, it seems to me that women should be obligated in Musaf. Kiven de b'musaf ba b'shvil kedushat hayom. Since Musaf comes for the sanctity of the day, since women are obligated to sanctify the day Shabbat biblically, who atin b'zeh? This too, the chol mashen itka mishul kedushat hayom. Anything that was set up because the sanctity of the day, pshita shegam hen mitzvot alzeh. It's clear that they too should be obligated. So he argues, so Rav Nachman wants to argue that women should be obligated because of the Kedushat Hayom. I would say most Muslims don't like this reason, don't accept the reason, for one very simple reason. We're going to discuss whether women are clearly obligated in sanctifying the Shabbat. It's not so clear whether women are obligated on Yom Tov. Let's see if you were Rabbi Kiva Eger, that Yom Tov women maybe are not obligated to make Kiddush. We'll talk about this, we don't hold that way. But there's a whole discussion about whether there's a distinction in Shabbat and Yom Tov, and nobody makes a distinction between Shabbat and Yom Tov.
Rosh Chodesh.
Rosh Chodesh, well, there's no real sanctification. Right, and Rosh Chodesh, there's no sanctification of the day. And Rosh Chodesh is uniquely related to women. We'll talk about that too. Rav Avadia Yosef, generally, I'd say most poskim rule and that women are not obligated to musaf. And they say because the women, since it's not a request for mercy, it's only there for the special korban the day the women are freed. So the consensus of most poskim is that women are freed for korban musaf. Look at the Kaf HaChaim. The last view on that page, he's the early 1900s. Haminak shenashim mitpalot musaf kamo shemitpalot shalom. He says the custom is that women do daven musaf. I would argue that that's only true if they come to shul. Women who come to shul generally do daven musaf and don't.
That's what we get there.
We'll talk about that.
Sometimes the only daven musaf.
We'll talk about that. Wait a second, we'll talk about that in one very important second. Let's turn the page of Avad Yosef. Turn the page 116 to the top. Avad Yosef holds that women are freed from saying carbon, from saying Musaf. Question is, can they say Musaf? He's a Sephardi, right? Can they say Musaf? And Avad Yosef's answer is what? No. Why? He said, Rav Avadia Yosef said, the women are davening once a day. If they said shacharis, they can say minchan maariv. Wait a second. Rav Avadia Yosef just told us that women, I mentioned at the beginning, that if women are only davening once a day, they can daven shacharit and mincha, right? They can daven extra prayers. Why? Halafai shitpala adam kola nukula. They can pray your heart out. That's provided you're praying your heart out. Provided that it's a bakasha, provided that it's a rachame, it's a tchino, you're doing something. But the whole purpose of musaf is merely to mention the musaf. That's its raison d'etre. He says, for that, there's no hector for women to do that. And they're not obligated, therefore they can't do it. You will see a lot of bracha on this thing. It was a siddur that's published. I don't know if you may have seen it. It came out about 12 years ago. It's called Siddur Le'em V'Labat. And it was in red and pink. It was a very nice color. And it had Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. And since I was sensitive, and it's an Apid Piskei Harav Avadia Yosef, since I was sensitive to what I was going to see, I bought both. And sure enough, a lot of things are missing. You'll see how much is missing, and then I'll show it to you. Now, Rav Avadia Yosef raised a fascinating question. V'nire the nashim chayavot b'musaf shel Rosh Hashanah. And I sure mean Yom Kippur too. Rachamei ninu. It's a chiyim. It says he's not sure, because the argument Rachamei ninu doesn't really come in. If you hold the right, it's on the text. What essentially Rav Avadia Yosef is saying, look, what's the raison d'etre of the musaf of Shabbos, or the korban? But what's the raison d'etre of the musaf of Rosh Hashanah? It's not only the musaf, it's alchiyot, it's chomot, it's shofarot. Right? Chazal has much more than just the korban in there. In fact, the Gemara goes to great length why Malchiyot, Zichron, and Shofarot is in musaf. It really should have been in shacharit. And the Gemara talks about the Gzeirah and what all reasons and why they did it, and because they want to combine it with Tkiyat Shofar, and Tkiyat Shofar is a lot of historical development of why it's in Musaf. It really should have been in Shacharit. Nevertheless, it's there, says Avad Yosef. It makes sense that here we allow people and women to pour their heart out. So Musaf is to pour your heart out. That's what it's there for. Okay? So that's his view.
Sounds like he's trying to have his cake and eat it too.
Didn't
he say against the slach that it's wrong?
No, that has to do with the raison d'etre. It has to do with the raison d'etre.
That's true, but you can say the same thing about Rosh Hashanah, can't you? I mean,
no, the raison d'etre of Rosh Hashanah is not only Musa. It's very clear that Shemona Esrei from Rosh Hashanah is Malchim Zecharon and Shofot. And Kedushat Hayom I mix in with the Malchiyot. But that's a clear from the Mishnah that Musaf, the Rosh Hashanah Musaf is very different than all other Musaf.
But in the other Musaf, he himself mentioned that there are all these there really are a lot of bakashot that appear in Musaf. But then he's
He's sensitive to it. You're right. He discusses it. It bothers him. But he's very machmer and svekel. What would you say about Ni'ila? A woman obligated to have Ni'ila? Would you say that according to the are they obligated, or if they're not obligated to have it at all, can they say Ni'ila? I think the answer is clearly yes. Because Ni'ila is to pour your heart out. And that's they're not about today. Ni'ila. Yes.
I have a big
Avadi Yosef, despite his great stature and his impressive qualities, is not the only Sfar. Okay? I would say he's the most vocal, he's the most prominent, but there are many other Sfarim posted. Okay, and I'm glad you asked the question, because I made it give you the wrong impression. Chaim David HaLevi, chief rabbis for Chavrat, I just looked at him last night. He says Ashkenazi Sfarim women should daven three times. And they can daven. You have to understand. What is the stance? I mean, when we discuss the whole question of Svardi women saying mitzvot aseishas, saying brachot and mitzvot aseishas man grama, I mentioned and we discussed it that Avadi Yosef comes out, you know, b'shulchanach Rambam, right? So it was like a cheer, and he says that's what you got to do. And I, by the way, there's books that are coming out now under the hechsher or the approval or the supervision of Avadi Yosef based on his psukim. And in the beginning, I just read a whole bunch of them. Book after book always starts off with the importance of the Shulchan Aruch. Biographies of Rabbi Yosef Karo, why he was so special. And I kept saying, why is it? Avadi Yosef is very strong that the Shulchan Aruch is the authority. And you can't sway from that authority. And if Shulchan Aruch says women don't, Sephardi women don't make brachot, you don't make brachot. But the problem is that we saw that other great Sephardi poskim, Chaim David Azulai, and we saw many other poskim we mentioned, all say that Sephardi women can make. The Rosh Hashiva Porat Yosef came out and said Sephardi women can make brachot on mitzvot aseh she'es man grama. Right? And the whole series, Chaim David Levi, brings the psak and says if they have the custom to pray, they should do it. They should go ahead and make the bracha. So based on that, since there is enough of a machloket, I would say you as a teacher, I don't have the obligation to be moche. If there's a girl who comes to you and says, but Avadi Yosef says I don't have to daven, you say you're right. And then you have to say you're right. You don't have to daven yourself. All right. Or I would say, if you want to educate your students, you can say, I suggest you to go home and ask your parents what their position is on the women davening musaf. Right? Now, I don't know if you want to create that controversy at home. It's like I had a fifth grade teacher, I thank him to this day. We learned the verse, Ki yifateh ish betula. Okay, we're in the fifth grade, or I remember the fourth grade, fifth grade, and he said, this is pasuk is Torah like everything else is Torah. But I don't think it's my place to teach you this particular important pasuk in my class. I would like you to go home and discuss this important pasuk with your parents now. Discussing my father through Torah taught me the facts of life, and it's not as if we giggled every time we came to a Rashi that was problematic in the fifth grade, because then we would do the same thing. So this is a very important Rashi, it's holy, like every other Rashi. I'd like you to go home and discuss this Rashi with your parents. And have your parents teach it, and we'll move on to the next Rashi. And we didn't giggle, it was a positive attitude. No, I mean, that's what sex education. Now, I don't know if the same thing does with the Sephardi, because these things are not trivial problems. Because it can, you go home and say to your, you know, to the parents, you know, maybe the things you've been doing all along, Vadi Sechsas is wrong. Chaim Davidov Levi writes in a footnote, in his pamphlet for women, you know, to put out a book called Mekol Chaim L'Nashim. You look at it, you'll see it bothers him. Vadi Sechsas, you know, headstrong approach really bothers me. He says, look, the Vadi says, a lot of Sephardi Poskim are matter. Why do you being so headstrong? And we've been working all this time to get our girls to be from, and now you're going to tell them they shouldn't say this, and they shouldn't say this, and it's almost counterproductive, it's counter-educational. Well, Rabbi Yosef doesn't do that. He views it that way. He views it as halachic pride. Now, Rabbi Yosef is right, and Chaim David Halevi is right. Rabbi Yosef is right. If you have a woman in your educational institution, you can take her out from first grade and teach her the whole halachic system, then it'll work all right. But you want to come in 12th grade after you've worked so hard to make sure these girls bow a few times a day, twice a day, once a day, and all of a sudden Rabbi Yosef says, nah, most of you are going to do it. You shouldn't say it. Don't say it. Don't make a bracha until it goes. But it's problematic. And Chaim David Halevi is not happy with it. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but I'm trying to give you, it's not as simple. I'd say halachically, you are not obligated. Since there are many Sephardi poskim, and there are many Ashkenazim who poskim for Sephardi, who feel that Sephardi women can name it's a Pesach Shazman Gama, which applies to Muslim as well, that you don't have an obligation to be called. And it might be worth your while to give them a shiur. I'm sure they might find it interesting. But I think I answered your question. Now, as far as, now I'd like to bring, yes?
Am I right in thinking that the post can be talking about the contemporaries?
Yes.
What about?
Well, not only contemporary, even from the, in the late 1800s, yes, we discussed it back here. But there are through the generations, there are a lot of Ashkenazi and Sephardi poskim who hold that Sephardi women can make it. Other contemporary poskim a lot of other poskim will make that. Discussed it back here. You want, you're interested right now?
No,
okay.
Just,
yes, no, no, they're contemporary. They're contemporary.
No, it's
an issue that's been bandied about. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, who are the pillars, some of the major pillars of halacha, disagree. And they hold that Sephardi women can't. The question is whether Ashkenazi poskim, whether the, amongst the Sephardi poskim or the Ashkenazi poskim for Sephardi, what the consensus is. It's not so clear. Let me just mention one important point. As has been noted, women often come in around Musaf. Look. However, they pick up the sitter, and what are they daven? What are they daven? Some daven Shachris. And some daven Musaf. Okay. Nah. Thank you. However, you were the one who was surprised that women weren't davening at all. I'm just kidding. The fact of the matter is that my poll has been that women tend to daven musaf, which is wrong. For two reasons. Reason number one is that you're definitely chayiv in shachris, probably not chayiv in musaf. So, and second of all, the halacha dictates you have to daven shachrit before you daven musaf. You have to be in the korban tummy before you be in the korban musaf. So therefore, please daven shachrit. Now, do you have to do anything before you daven shachrit? Ktzeh hamazleg, just now, a woman comes in late, she should say Birkot HaShachar, that's from Al-Adi Lachidayim, to after the list of the Brachot and Ma'anotel Ha'evkoach, to the end there, and then can go straight to Shmuel Esrei. She should say the first Pasuk of Kriyat Shema, with Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Ve'ed, and then go straight into Kriyat Shema, and then she will have finished by the time they finished Adon Olam. And then she can walk out with everybody else. Okay, if at that time she then wants to daven musaf, she can daven musaf. But that is the Birkot HaShachar and the first pasuk of Shema and the Baruch Shem, and then go straight to Shemoneh Esrei. Shachar is what she should be doing.
You mean just Shema Yisrael, Hashem
Elokeinu? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'Olam.
That's all.
Obligated. I didn't say she can't daven more. She shouldn't daven more. I'm telling you what she should do. That's what she should do. Right? What? Minimal, absolute, bottom, minimal requirement. Okay? Brother Shaka, she has to say, because that's not prayer. That's like, that's giving Kaddish Baruch Hu, everything functions properly. That everybody's obligated to pray. Okay, and then Shema, because it's a matter of faith. You're not obligated. If you want to say that 30 seconds, you can still not have to say it at all. Many poskim hold that you should, because it's a fundamental of faith. And then Shema Esrei, because most poskim hold that you're obligated. If you're already going to do it, you might as well do Shachar. Musaf, most poskim hold you're not obligated, and therefore, if you want to.
If you come in and it is just that that was middle or beginning of Kriya Tatora, but you have to listen, that's what I learned. You listen to one or two psukim, and then you go to your shacharit.
I will. It seems to me.
I am not saying.
No, I understand. We'll discuss. Women are almost definitely not obligated to create the Torah. They're not obligated to create the Torah. And I would say they should spend more time adopting than spending on creating the Torah. They're not obligated. Look, as we go through, we'll talk about what should women should say, what are the levels of obligation or the disputes, we'll see. But clearly, coming to shul, brachot, and
what's the point of her being in shul if she's davening something completely different? Let her daven outside.
What?
I mean, is there any good point to being inside
the
shul?
Yes. First of all, the halacha state. Let's say if a man walks in late and the woman is davening musaf, he too has to daven shacharit first. He daven shacharit first. He can't daven musaf. There's a discussion in the postscript. There is a minority. There's an interesting minority discussion about. Maybe there's some who will say maybe you can daven musaf because musaf you'll do tefillah b'tzibur and shacharit not. I would argue that first of all there is a preference in davening in shul as a makom kadosh, irrespective of there was a minyan there or not. There is a second level of davening in shul because the community is davening and your davening is part of the community. Many poskim hold that you get it's called tefillah b'tzibur. You're praying with the community, even if they're davening musaf and you're davening shacharit. That's called tefillah b'tzibur. And there are rules about skipping, which I know very well. The rules about skipping, if you come in late to shul and they're getting close to Shemoneh Esrei and you want to daven Shemoneh Esrei tefillah b'tzibur, and these rules work if you want to get tefillah b'tzibur. So tefillah b'tzibur means that you start Shemoneh Esrei when the community starts Shemoneh Esrei. Then it means you start Shemoneh Esrei when the Chazan does his Chazaret HaShas. That's also called Tefillah B'Tzibur. And thirdly, some poskim say, even if you start Shacharit when the community starts Musaf, that's also called Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay? Which is considered the best form of prayer. The Rambam says that the prayer of the community is always heard. And one should always daven his private prayer with the community. Tefillah is considered the best form of prayer. So if you're asked to answer your question, if a woman sees the community is about to daven musaf, yes, she should hurry up so that she can say her shacharit with the community's musaf.
But if they're in Kriyat HaTorah, isn't it sort of lacking respect to daven?
No,
because that's a question. So you see the women who walk in, let's say, doing Kriyat HaTorah and immediately daven, some who wait like between Aliyot and some who wait for the speech.
Right, okay. I mean, this is a good point. I haven't thought about it very much. I would say that there is a good logic in waiting between the Aliyot, that's called Bein Daven LeGavra, because you will get, even though women are not obligated to get the Torah, they certainly get the Torah points. If they listen to Kriyat HaTorah, there's no question it's Limud HaTorah. And the question is whether she can say Shemoneh Esrei during that anyway. And it's preferable to say Shmon Esrei before 3 hours into the day. It's called Zman Tefillah. You know, there are rules about when Shmon Esrei should be said by. Preferably, Shmon Esrei should be said by 3 hours into the day. By 3 hours, I mean what it called the Shod Zmanion, that you take, you know, it can fluctuate the length of the day. You take the day from sunrise to sunset, or from light rise, which is Alot HaShachar, to light set, which is after Tzedom Set HaKochavim, and you divide it into 12 parts, and that's called an hour. And preferably, Shmon Esrei should be said, right? The Kriya Shema should be said 3 hours into the day, and Shmon Esrei should be 4 hours in the day, or you can say it after Chatzot. So those are considerations too about when it should preferably be said early in the morning. And a lot has to do with is she davening because she feels that she's obligated to shepherd, that she has to daven like men? Does she davening because she really doesn't, she follows the position, she doesn't have to daven at all, and she's doing God a big favor. But she wants to daven once a day like the Rambam, she's doing Shmon Esrei. Then it's not clear that the time determined rules apply to her, and then she can daven at any time during the day, right? So then, with a lot of considerations, I'm not sure, and all these things are optional for her. I don't know whether an optional saying Kriya Shema in its time is better than an optional listening to create the Torah. I don't know how to weigh these things. Those are rules of what to do when you're in Shmon Esrei. The rule in Shmon Esrei is if you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei and you hear Kedusha, you stop. Okay, the rule is you stop and you say nothing and you just listen. Okay, until they finish Kedusha. There are some nuances there. I don't want to go into the nuances, but Kedusha ends with Yimloch Hashem Yimloch Mekayetz Yimloch 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 Yimloch. That's right. And but when you're the community saying Kedusha, you're silent and just listen to Kedusha. That is provided you're not at, if you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayeh Hamitim and the community just started saying Kedusha, and you're like, you're almost like the Shliach Tzibur, because the Shliach Tzibur just said Mechayeh Hamitim, you're just saying Mechayeh Hamitim, then you say Kedusha with the Tzibur, but you say it with the Chazan. You don't say it with the Tzibur. And when the Chazan says, Nekadesh Yusei Nekadesh. The Chazan says Kadesh Kadesh Yusei Kadesh
Kadesh.
If you're saying Shetz, it's a real discussion. The rule is that the discussion of the poskim, the rules of the men do. If you're in Shacharit and they're saying the Musaf Shmon Esrei, you say the Musaf Kedushin. I know that sounds wild, but you say the Musaf Kedushin, you're Shacharit Shmon Esrei with the Tzibur. Okay? Yes, another question. Yeah, I dabble on the Rebbe Shul all the time.
Yeah, I do.
I do, I say, because I'm always late, so I'm always coming for how long. You usually manage to finish Pesuk of the Zimra, and everybody wonders, we're down to Shochinah, and Firma walks in Shochinah, and he's dabbling with everybody. How does he do that? You know, dabbling as I go. Go ahead.
They
realize that they can't
concentrate on saying
Shacharit
while
the people are saying the Shacharit. Look, if these are women, I understand the question. Yeah, but the question is, if the purpose is to see the way most poskim seem to understand is that the musaf tefillah. Let me just sort of play devil's advocate. Let me see if I can say. Look, let's say you hold that women are not obligated to just say shevach bakasha hodaya, right? Just shevach bakasha hodaya. And musaf, there is shevach bakasha hodaya. Why can't I daven musaf? Right? That's essentially what you're saying. She says to me, I don't daven. I'm coming to shul. I'm davening. You want me to say shevach bakasha? I'm saying I'm doing musaf. There's shevach in the beginning. There's bakasha in the middle, and there's hodaya. The problem is if you've chosen a medium, which is musaf, which is problematic. You're probably yotzei your biblical obligation to pray, right? Because you said shevach. But you've taken a medium, you know, which is not, it's not in a vacuum. It belongs to a particular construct. And that construct says, the Musa prayer, the whole reason for this prayer is to mention the Musa. Women are not obligated to say this prayer. They are, you should say this prayer after you've said the Shacharit prayer. There's something wrong with the medium. Choose a better medium. And you know what's
that?
Is
it isn't
it
better saying
Musa
with the whole
Kavanah? I don't, since Shmuel said quietly, I don't see the argument. If you're asking me, did she fulfill her obligation? I would say, yeah, I'd say, but I think there's something doesn't right, sound right. That wasn't good for sure. It just doesn't. Halakha. Yeah.
The problem I have is that when, once you step outside obligation, you're talking about schar, why... It would seem that for a man, it's clear that you, because of the obligation, that he has to choose tefillah b'tzibur because that's the higher level of. But for a woman, because she doesn't have that obligation, there's also schar in saying all the tefillot. So why choose the schar of tefillah b'tzibur over the schar of saying all the tefillot?
That's an excellent question. To rephrase the question, a woman is not obligated in tefillah b'tzibur. So why make a big deal about it? I mean, she can choose what she wants to choose. Okay? The answer to that particular question is that the way most of the poskim understand tefillah b'tzibur is that it is at least the best way of fulfilling my personal obligation. Because I have an obligation to daven Shemoneh Esrei. It's the best way of doing it. The way of Rabbi Yosef said, you know, your obligation of Bekosha, do it the best way. Say the Shemoneh Esrei the Chazal set up. Because they formulated, they got the best, you know. And if you're going to say your private Shemoneh Esrei, do it the best way. The best way is to say your obligation Shemoneh Esrei with the Tzibur. Because davening with the Tzibur, the prayer is heard better, and the Chazal prays to be loved the Tzibur. So if a woman comes to me and says, which is better to say some more tilim, psukei dezimra, or do my obligation, my private obligation with the tzibur, it seems to me that there's no question that it's best to do your tefillah b'tzibur. And you'll say, if you want to say the tilim afterwards, say the tilim afterwards. You want to say psukei dezimra. Afterwards, you can say tilim afterwards. Although, there's a problem about that. We'll get to it when talking about psukei dezimra. Okay, but I think, you're right. I mean, I can't say, no, she doesn't have the freedom of choice. She does have the freedom of choice. But it's clear that doing your private obligation with the tzibur is of highest priority. Okay?
Tzibur,
women
being also obligated.
Because men are obligated. Since men are obligated in public prayer, constant public, this has stems from... Let me just see 1 second. I think we'll just a good time to stop. Let me just see if there's anything else. Nope. Yeah, yes, I find it. Right. I find it. That's provided that the tzibur is done with more kavana. I must be honest with you. Rav Avadya, there's a lot of tshuva, that discuss the question of tefillah b'tzibur versus kavana. Which is more important, my personal kavana or tefillah b'tzibur? This comes back to your. Suppose a person says, you know, they got it so fast and they're talking nonstop that I can't possibly have kavana. Can I daven it all? There's a clear split in the poskim, and this clear split in the poskim, where some poskim say you're obligated to tefillah b'tzibur, men. You're obligated to tefillah b'tzibur priority. Other poskim say no, tefillah b'tzibur is only one form of the best way of davening, but kavana is even more important. And if I can't have kavana, then that has my shetrafi daven it all. Now. Women are not obligated. So if you were to ask me again, if you rephrase the question, thank you. You rephrase the question, it says, a woman comes and says, I can't, if I skip, I can't have kavanah. Or if I can't do it now because I'm not going to have proper kavanah. Right? Or I feel rushed, or whatever the reason is, then I, although I'm not convinced that that is valid, it's true, it's accurate. Because if she just has to get up and down, she must have not like she would have davened any other time. Then I would say that yes, she should daven Shmon Esrei privately, at her own pace, maybe in her own home, to have greater kavanah, because for her, tefillah b'tzibur is only optional. Right? It's only optional. And kavanah is of higher importance. But for a man, the reason why even Rav Moshe Feinstein, for instance, says you have to daven with b'tzibur no matter what, is because he holds men are obligated to tefillah b'tzibur. Right? And that has priority kavanah. But even Rav Moshe would argue that if you're not obligated to tefillah b'tzibur, that kavanah has a higher priority over tefillah. Kavanah has a higher priority over a better way of, because that's also a better way of davening. Tefillah b'tzibur is a better way of davening, and this is also a better way of davening. See, we're trying to weigh different considerations. And in the discussion, in my discussion of women's prayer groups, okay, about women's right to daven in prayer groups, the question of women davening in prayer groups versus in a minyan, this type of consideration, this weighing, it has to be discussed. It's a valid halakha consideration where the woman feels she can have a better cover. The question is whether each person has the right to have better kavanah. What do you mean by better kavanah? See you next week.